Welcome back, everybody, to Sight to the Blind. This whole Erica Kirk situation is getting is getting funnier by the week. It's only been, what, maybe 80 or 90 days since this whole fake assassination. And since then, people have done their due diligence and begun researching faster than I could ever expect. I always talk about how 9/11 happened, and we literally went 10 to 15 years without even caring or knowing what actually happened and why those towers fell, and we ate up that narrative. I didn't really care because it had nothing to do with me. But people who invest in this country's image, they fell for it. And then when you start exposing what actually happened during 9/11 and the pieces, the puzzles, the cogs in the machine that got exposed, it took some time, is what I'm saying. Now, it don't even take a year. It don't even take 10 years. It's literally taken weeks on top of weeks, months on top of months, and people are really exposing these little psyops that they do, which is laughable because it just shows you, man. It really does show you that Satan's lies, knowing he is the father of lies, is just so easily discerned if you truly have the Ruach HaKodesh. It could be as small as a mustard seed, and you could still see through these little rituals. So Erica Kirk was on some TV panel with Barry Weiss. She talked about how she, when she lived out in New York or wherever she lived at, that she didn't date anyone for 5 years until she met Charlie. And then somebody somehow, I don't know how they did it, but they found that she was actually dating some guy named Cabot Phillips in 2017. And they were a couple because Cabot Phillips was posting on Twitter at the time that him and Erica are that couple that get painting lessons together. So like, it just shows you, man. They just putting these people together, just like they do with Hollywood couples. They put these couples together, want y'all to fall for them, and then when you no longer fall for these couples, you no longer idolize them, they break them apart. Like the whole Jenny Aiko and Big Sean situation. Now people say that, oh, she cheated on him. She cheated with him from her last man, and then he didn't even marry her. And people create some type of narrative that fits whatever situation that's relative to their life. They're like, oh, this is why it happened. You know, the person you cheat with, they ain't gonna never marry you, blah, blah, blah. That old chestnut. But it's really when you don't idolize these couples, when they don't bring in the money from the idolization, they break them up. That's it. I'm telling you, Megan Good and Jonathan Majors, they will be broken up. Once people stop idolizing them, once it stops making that system money or that entity money, they'll break them up. They thought we were going to fall for her and Devin Franklin because they was in there doing prayers before the Oscars and the Emmys or whatever award show they were at. They were doing prayers and praying over people. When we didn't fall for that, that's when they're like, all right, they're not falling for it. We need to break them up. And they do this with black couples more than they do with any other couple in this industry because they need us to be in love with a image or image of relationships where it destroys our own household. They cannot stand for us to be together or find righteousness. They don't want that. I find it extremely coincidental and hilarious to the fact that since the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce situation kind of died down, they didn't make the playoffs. Why? Because now they have to mirror. It's what they do. They mirror what they show you. So if Sean Combs came out about Jeffrey Epstein came out about sex trafficking and human trafficking, now they parade Sean Combs the same way about human trafficking and sex trafficking. So you had Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. So I'm assuming They're going to put the New England Patriots back into the Super Bowl because of Cardi B and her man. They want you to idolize. And when you stop idolizing Cardi B and her new man, then they break them up. And she would have a baby on the way. And now she has two different child fathers. And it's like confusion. It's just to mingle this wickedness into our households. They want us to think that this is the level of success. Like, the reason why he got to the Super Bowl is because of Cardi B. And because of these particular type of relationships, this is the relationship you need to get to the champion. This is what you need to get to an extra platform to be successful in Satan's eyes. But people think, oh, this is being blessed by Jesus Christ. So I just thought that was funny with the whole Erica Kirk situation. And it's sad, but also funny how we're Americans in this country. Don't know what to say about it. Even though they've been warned not to follow and idolize people. Even when the Bible says don't idolize and follow man or trust in man, they need that image. That's why I said it's just laughable. I wouldn't even try to stop what these people are doing. I just expose them to themselves. I try their faith in front of them, and they have to do mental and spiritual gymnastics to try to figure out how I can be wrong and they can be right. I enjoy it. I'm not trying to change these people's mind. I'm not even trying to change what they do. Do whatever you want to do. Truly, do whatever you want to do. It wouldn't be no reason for John in Revelation to say, let he who is unrighteous be unrighteous still, and let he who is righteous be righteous still. That means you're not going to be able to control anything what these people will do and how they think and how they choose to live their life. Even if you expose the truth to them, don't even worry about it. Truly, don't even worry about it. That's why the Most High said when Yahushua made the parable of the wheat and tare, like, do not uproot the weeds or the tares at this time, because you might pull up the wheat. What he meant by that is the wheat isn't fully righteous, but they're on the path to be righteous. So if you uproot the tares, the righteous may not be in their fullness of righteousness yet. That means they may have the identity or the image of having tares, and they're about to change over to wheat. They still need a little bit more watering. They need a little bit more sun. They need a little bit more, you know, certain weather conditions to change them over to wheat. Don't uproot them, because you don't know yet. But Revelation and the wheat and tares, people are going to come to the fullness of exactly what they are. And there's nothing you can do about it. When you came into this, with the possibility of awakening people and getting them to change into this path that you are already found, that you are already used to. And you realize when you talk to your family members, when you talk to your friends, they don't have nothing to do with you. So don't even sweat it. Truly, don't even sweat it. Let the curses that are going to happen upon these nations and upon the people of this land, let it happen. The Most High told us, if you come back to me, all the curses that you go through or went through will fall upon these other nations. So all we're doing is growing up out of these curses, taking a step back, and watch people learn through their own stiff-neckedness, their own hard-headedness. This situation with of Netanyahu, like I said, I'd be just seeing this dude without me having to look for him. I'd be seeing him. I'd be hearing his mouth run, even when I don't want to. But it was interesting, because he keeps talking. And the more he keeps talking, the more he sounds retarded. This is what he said recently. I don't know where he'd be saying these things at, but this is what he said.
I said, Mike, that we are fighting today the battle that the Maccabees fought. They fought for the survival of the Jewish people and the Jewish faith against an enemy that wanted to extinguish us, wipe us out from the face of the earth. We were fighting our battle, but we were also fighting the battle of civilization. Because our civilization is based on the Judeo-Christian tradition. And if the Maccabees had failed, there'd be no Judaism, there would be no Judeo-Christian civilization. There would be no Huckabees. There would be no United States, there wouldn't be the civilization of freedom, the respect for our common traditions, our common values. All of that would not happen if it weren't for those five brave brothers. They actually made the whole difference.
What? What? He's trying to say that the Maccabean revolt was about Judaism. And the fact that the United States even exists is because of Judaism. It's only half true. Half true. George Washington, which was one of the founding fathers of the United States, is a Freemason. And we know by Herzog, the founder of Zionism, his words were that Freemasonry was for non-Jews. And he even called them pigs. And so they never understand what we use Freemasonry for. And if you look at Freemasonry and different quotes of these magazines they had about it, they talked about how Freemasonry and Jewish mysticism goes hand in hand. That the rituals, the rites, the beliefs are all set up under Freemasonry. That's it. So what he's saying is the reason why there's a United States is because of Freemasonry. That's what he's saying, basically. But he's trying to say that if it wasn't for the Maccabean Revolt, it would be no Judaism. That makes no sense. It really doesn't. But like I said, these retarded people just keep talking and talking and talking, and no one says anything about them or to them or even correct them, because they own all media where all truth goes in and goes out. This is why they want their hands on all social media platforms, to delete pages, delete podcasts that spread what they think is anti-Semitism, but it's really the truth of the matter. Now they know who the real children, now most people know who the real children are. Even if they mock it, or even if they are upset at it, eventually they have to know it, because they see that there is a difference between what Israelites are doing and what they are doing. Because they're now understanding that those camps aren't necessarily the camps or the images of what Israelites are doing. I guarantee it. Like, I know their FYP, their timeline has to show some relevance of the truth. Brother Brock told me in an email a couple of days ago that people are now using the term Yahusha and Yahuwah, and they could not have done this. I'm talking about being like Gentiles. They could not have figured this out if they haven't seen it on their timeline. So eventually, people who are doing really good teaching are exposing to Gentiles this is the proper way. And they're seeing that what Israelites are doing compared to what Jews are doing over there, it's night and day. They can't be the real people. So who can be the real people then? That is what they have to settle within their own hearts. But the fact is, I mean, just want to smack this dude. Truly. Because the things they say is just asinine. Truly asinine. You can't name five Jewish warriors. You can't. I don't care if it's World War I, World War II, Vietnam. In any battle, you have never heard of a Jewish warrior. I can name five Jewish gangsters before I can name five Jewish warriors. This sense of rebellion has been in our bloodline. Everywhere we go, in any nation we go to the highest level of hierarchy in that particular nation. Daniel was close to being a president in Babylon. Joseph was like second in command underneath the Pharaoh in Egypt. Even Moshe accidentally being taken in by Bithya was still a prince in Egypt. when slaves were taken to Haiti. Duddy Bookman. Some of the biggest slave revolts in Haiti. It was just the reason why they couldn't accept captivity. It's the reason why Haiti is the way it is now is because they refused to be slaves. So the entire European world went after their resources. Kept them in the state of where they are now. Nat Turner in America. We've always had somebody of rebellion status to go into any nation to make a name for themselves. These people do not have that. They've been kicked out of more countries than anybody else. Not once did you hear any revolt or rebellion from them. You couldn't get 100,000 Negroes to walk into any chamber where they thought it would be gas. You couldn't get 100,000 Negroes to walk into Auschwitz. The only reason why we walked on those ships is because spiritually, the Most High had a control of our Ruach. When the Most High said, I'm going to make sure your children get on these boats and be taken into Second Egypt. There's nothing you could do to stop that. When the Most High prophesied it before those generations of Negroes ever stepped foot on a boat or even seen a European, I guarantee you the reason why it happened was because of the Most High's pleasure, the Most High's will, the Most High's plan. The only reason. If he didn't have that reason to send us in captivity, none of us would walk anywhere into Auschwitz or in a gas chamber or anywhere to be anybody's slaves without a fight. And even when, thinking about it now, even when we had that 400-year curse, there were slave rebellions popping up all around this country, which ended in massacres in most of them. But still, the spirit was there. The Ruach was there. Where is their Ruach? Nowhere. Except when it's when it comes time to do wickedness. When they formed Murder, Inc., Meyer Lansky, and all these other Jewish gangsters that they had. That was it. That was it. That's literally the last time you ever heard of a real Jewish warrior. Then I read, I was on to Ezekiel, or I was reading the book of Ezekiel with my mother, and I stumbled across something in Ezekiel chapter 14. It says, 15 through 21, it says, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, says Adonai Yahuwah, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. So if you couple this verse or these verses with Yirmiyahu chapter 9, verse 11, the Most High says when things are going to be desolate, that's exactly what they'll be, desolate. That no Balfour Declaration of 1948 could ever change when the Most High says, I want the land to be desolate. So if the land is not desolate, that means it's not the real biblical land. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, says Adonai Yahuwah, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says Adonai Yahuwah, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So the Most High is saying that you cannot live off another man's righteousness. You can't say, well, I'm related to Noah, I'm related to Daniel, I'm related to Yahusha. That don't work. That won't fly. It won't say, oh, I'm friends with these righteous men. Won't work. That's a lie. So when I thought about when he said Noah, Daniel, and Job, we know that there's more righteous men in scripture than that. But why did the Most High use Noah, Daniel, and Job? We know Job was righteous and he was tried, having everything stripped and ripped from him. We know Daniel was righteous, even when he was in captivity. We know Noah was given the task of building an ark and housing animals and keeping it afloat and making sure his sons and his descendants after him believed on the name of Yahuwah. You would have to think, what land is he talking about? If you so choose to, go to David Rumsey's map collection, look up Society for the Diffusion of Useful Knowledge, which are map makers, Great Britain, 1839, of Africa. And go next to Lake Chad. And under Lake Chad, there is a, I don't know, it's just like what they say is somewhere close to the coast of Lake Chad is Noah's footstool. And if you look to the left of that, you'll see Damasak on the left side of Lake Chad. Damasak. Now, Damasak was translated into the Greek Damascus. And we know this region, where they call Negro land, is not only because of us, but because Shem is the progenitor of the Negro. His descendants or his sons, Aram and Ashur, they are also Negro. So the reason why it's called Negro land, because it's truly the land of Aram and Ashur, which you would know them as today, Assyria and Syria. I believe, truly believe, that if the Most High is saying that Noah, Daniel, and Job were once in the same land, we know this land to be Africa, because it can't be anywhere else. So say if you would believe that Daniel and Job were in Israel or Yasharel. Then if you go by the story or the myth that the ark landed on Mount Ararat, which is near the Caucasus Mountains, which is upper Europe, northern Europe, almost close to Russia, how can this be in the same land? If you look at it on a map, they're not even close to each other. But if you look at the Atlas Mountains, and if you read Jubilees and Jasher, especially when Noah was getting ready to leave the ark and he went to offer ascending smoke offerings to Yahuwah, it says that he offered them upon one of the mountains of Mount Ararat. So if you look at the Mount Ararat that you know of in the Caucasus Mountains, it's literally only two mountains in that region. Mount Ararat is just one big mountain, and then there's a smaller Mount Ararat, which they call Little Mount Ararat. But in Jubilees and Jasher, it talks about Mount Lubar being one of the mountains near Mount Ararat. So what Noah did was offer ascending smoke offerings in multiple, where there were multiple mountains. And the only explanation for this, especially when the animals are all in Africa, is that he was at the tip of Africa or Northern Africa, which they call around the Moroccan region, where Atlas Mountains are. That is what I believe the boat to stop. And then the fact that I see Noah's footstool in this 1839 map, I mean, it's a lot of evidence to why the Most High would use Noah, Daniel, and Job. Was he trying to say, hey, if you read into this, I'm telling you where all the land is. All of Satan's lies, I have an answer for that. If you truly want to seek me, if you seek me 10 times more, you will find me. And you will find why I did this. Because I did not want to make it so easy that they would rip up the book, change words. I wanted to make it so subtle that if you truly seek me, seek my ways, that you will find them and see why He is the Satan is the father of lies. See why this system is the way it is. See why Yahusha had this calm demeanor about himself, because he knew the type of lies that he was going against. This is a special type of confidence that you get when you know the truth and you know people are walking around in majority of the lies of this system, that you know even they can never anger you. Now I know Yahusha must have felt something inside, because you'd have to be around people who were truly dumb that wouldn't get it. They didn't have the Ruach to get it. So when he says, blessed are ye, that when men revile you or hate you, great is your reward in heaven. You know why you'd be hated and reviled? Because you know something that they don't. And they ain't gonna never look for it, because they're not given the Ruach to look for it. You know it only because you digged and seeked for it. You sought the Most High. People say they seek and sought God or Jesus, end up with nothing. They end up with mega churches. They end up how to make Christmas pageants and Christmas performances better than last year's. That's their Ruach of seeking. How to make vanity look better for themselves. But for us, when we truly seek the Most High, he will give us these little parables, these little bits of information that truly stands out to us, to be like, ah, this is why he said this, and this is why it's easy to be found. If you explain this to somebody who's in any religion, or just somebody who has never opened up the Bible, they would have no idea what you're talking about. Paul talks about this. When you're not, oh, I think it's in the Old Testament. I don't think it's Paul. I think it's Old Testament when it talks about you not being able to read the Sefer because you just don't have the Ruach. You're just spiritually blinded. You're not able to read it. You have to get somebody else to read it. This is basically what is befalling this entire nation. So that's why they get so pissy at you when you expose something to them, and they get upset because you destroy their emotional blanket. Like if you know Peanuts, like the Charlie Brown characters, there was always the guy, the little child, Linus, he was always around with that blanket in his hand. That's exactly how people are now. Their blanket is that emotional security, that emotional comfort of being in a religion and thinking they're doing everything right because nothing has happened to them. They believe, I had to be on the right path because I'm not getting destroyed. They have no idea that they are becoming tares. They're growing as tares. Satan is not going to tempt you or touch you when you're doing everything he asked for you to do. If you're doing anything opposite of what Scripture wants you to do, he is not going to tempt you. He is not going to try you. He is not going to walk around you like a roaring lion looking to devour anybody if you're doing what you're already doing for him. Only the synagogue of Satan do that because they're Saturn worshipers. Like that whole incident in Sydney and Bondi Beach. They got one guy who was a lawyer, and he happened to be the lawyer for Netanyahu to keep him away from being charged with war crimes. I think his name is like Orinsky or something, Orlex Orinsky, something like that. You probably already seen it already. He's the guy that took a selfie of himself with supposedly a head wound, but it was like fake blood covering itself up. And if you look more into his Twitter page, he got exposed of every type of atrocity, where it be the Yemen war, the Houthi war, or anything. He's taking selfies with himself along with his daughter and say, oh, how's your day? Oh, we had to escape into a bomb shelter because of Yemen or Houthis or terrorists, blah, blah, blah. And he just so happens to end up in Australia. He just so happens to end up in around a Jewish community where there's only 100,000 people in all of Australia. He happened to be that guy. And when you watch the shooting, if you truly watch it, when people were ducking, you just happen to see a guy that said, make America great again hat. You just happen to see that when one of the videos you see. Their video is panning around. I think it's at the 13-second mark. This guy has a Make America Great hat on. I mean, Bro, it's how pathetic these people truly are. Pathetically retarded. Because they think people are fooled by this. I mean, some are. But eventually they catch on. Eventually they catch on. And this is why they want to take social media out of the hands of us. Because they know eventually, because sin doesn't make you smart. Wickedness doesn't make you smart. You become retarded to sin. That means all your movements, it's easily exposed. When you keep pushing nothing but lies, pushing nothing but sin and wickedness, the ruach of truth just dwells easily upon people who just want to know the truth. It's easily found out. One of the guys in the video, the same video of the Make America Great Again hat, the guy in 14 seconds in that clip, he was just sitting in his chair, not even moving. There was a time where the shooter was shooting a shotgun. He was racking it. And then it was one guy that had his head up watching the shooter, and there was other two guys kind of lightly jogging and not even ducking for cover. And this man is letting off shots, buckshots out of a shotgun. That's how you knew it was stupid. It was just that maybe when they shot him and he died and all that, you know, hey, they were the sacrifice for that. But then to say, oh, 11 were injured, 20-something, you know, were killed and all that. When I say Saturn worshipers, if you go back to Greek mythology, that's exactly, fam, that's exactly what he was. Saturn as a god, he devoured his own children because he knew, or he was given a prophecy that his children would rise up and take his throne. So he started eating his own children. We learned about this in school, in grade school. Which is really funny to me, because if they think they are the people of Hanukkah, we know that the Maccabean revolt was about the Greeks going into Yerushalayim. I just now thought about this. How can you be the people of the Maccabean story being Saturn worshipers, which is a deity of Greek mythology? Truly, man, like I said, when you are in the Ruach HaKodesh, these things come to you and you just laugh. You understand how people in positions of power and platforms and grown adults in their 50s and 60s are truly retarded people. Truly. You start to understand this more and more every single day. You understood this when you became adult yourself, when you thought about your elementary school teachers, when you thought about your high school teachers, when you had children of yourself, children for yourselves, and they go into the school districts, you understand when you have to deal with teachers, like, these teachers can't be as retarded as they were when I was in school. Then you realize that you became the adult. You became on their level intellectually. And you're like, damn, I'm smarter than my child's teachers. They're just doing what they're told. And they're doing based their education, their smartness on a Masonic school education, because that's who created the foundation of the public school system, was a Freemason. I'm telling you, the world, this truly, man, I don't know how we did it. I don't know how we made it this far. I really don't. It's truly the grace of the Most High for us to even make it this far and have this understanding of how this world works. That we truly relied on gaining success monetarily or career-wise and think it did something. Think we made a dent in this world to show this world who we truly are. That we base our accolades on garbage, really. Garbage education, garbage understandings, worldly stuff. This is why the Most High said, if you are a friend of the world, you are enmity with the Most High, because to be a friend of this world, you have to digest lies. You have to have lies in your stomach. That's the only way you could be a friend of the world, is if you're able to digest lies and dumbassness. That's it. You should be able to throw those lies up now. You should be able to be throwing up whatever they try to stuff down your throat. I wanted to mention or talk about what Sister Kaylin beat me to it. She beat me to the verse where it talked about how the souls were flying and that it was witchcraft. If you were dreaming dreams and you're flying in your dreams, that's witchcraft being performed on you. You don't know where it's coming from. If you don't know where it's coming from, if you have people in, you know, astrology, if you have people in the zodiacs, if you have people who are in that new age, and if you're in your dreams when you go to sleep at night and you're flying around, that is witchcraft being practiced on you. Maybe consciously or subconsciously or wherever whoever you are around that's involved with witchcraft, or you're involved with it yourself, you just don't know it, you need to repent or you need to fast. I had to fast a couple of times to stop myself from flying in dreams. I had even had to do prayers to send these arrows back, to send these dreams back to where they came. You need to do the same. When I dream now, I don't fly. But you just be flying around for no reason at all. You want to go from one building to the other. You just happen to be in air flying about. I used to have this, I wouldn't say witch, but I used to have this female. I don't know if it's a succubus or not, but I used to have this female that would visit me in these dreams. And she would make the environment so vivid, so lucid, that I think I was at home. And then she would stick her hands. Her hands were gray and her fingernails were green. She would stick them through my rib cage up to my chest to hold me. And she would just take me through the air, just flying about. I would just be flying about in the air. And I was like, this can't be normal. So I had to approach the Most High about it. I know there was witchcraft being practiced on me ever since I came into this truth. I tend to hear TLC No Scrubs, only because I dated Chili briefly. But ever since then, I've always heard this song. It could be in a grocery store. It could be at a restaurant. It could be a car that goes by. It could be me just walking around where I hear music. And I could just be on the radio station trying to find a radio station or something. It could even be my own phone sometimes when it's on shuffle. That song will come up. That No Scrubs songs will come up. I don't know why. But I know it's witchcraft. I know it's witchcraft being practiced on me. I laugh at it, but I was like, I used to tell my ex-fiance this all the time. I'm like, yo, I'm telling you, every time I hear music or that song will come up. And she was with me a couple of times. I'd be like, look, you hear that song? You hear it? It'd be like No Scrubs. I don't know why. It'd even be the instrumental sometimes will pop up. But like I said, you have to be aware of witchcraft. So the verse that I'm talking about that another brother mentioned about exposing that verse is in Ezekiel 13. I'll read verse 17 down to 23. Likewise, son of Adam, set your face against the daughters of your people, which prophesy out of their own heart and prophesy against them. Now, when he says set your face against the daughters of your people, that means the Israelite women got involved with witchcraft. And say thus, says Adonai Yahuwah, woe to the women that sew pillows to armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore thus says Adonai Yahuwah, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Now, a pillow against your pillows, that means they're making them go to sleep. I'm pretty sure there's, you know, medicines, herbs, or something that you can eat that'll make you go to sleep. And then they put a veil or something over the top of your head and perform witchcraft on you and then making your soul fly in dreams and saying, oh, Yahuwah wants me to tell you this. Yahuwah wants me to say this. And you're prophesying, trying to prophesy a dream on this person, and they're flying in this dream and saying, oh, it's because the Most High Yahuwah has done this and done that for you. Wherefore thus said, and I behold, I'm against your pillows where you there hunt the souls to make them fly. I would tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your veils also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and there shall and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. And ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. So when we got into ancestral worship, which is something that we are still involved with, we wanted to see our relatives in our dream. And so you got to understand also, when we see relatives or ex-girlfriends or ex-husbands or ex-boyfriends in our dreams, we think, oh, it's a sign. Now we're smart enough to know it ain't no sign. It's demons playing around with us. But back then, we had to have taken dreams seriously because of our nation being able to discern dreams. So dreams and visions were real at the time. I mean, you take Yasharel's vision about the ladder going up and down heaven. Then you take Daniel being able to have, being able to interpret visions and dreams. Joseph being able to interpret visions and dreams. So you'd have to understand that we took visions and dreams truly serious. So when we get into witchcraft, just how serious we were going to go with it. Oh, your relatives want you to do this and do that, do that. Where do you think this whole ancestral plane came from when they introduced it in Black Panther? It wasn't just the Hamites. We got involved with ancestral worship as well. If you remember Levon, if you remember when Levon wanted to find out where Yasharel had fled to with his two daughters and with most of his cattle, with most of his livestock, he consulted an image which was a dead person whose name was in the mouth of whatever skull, whatever, and he prayed for it. And that's how he found where Yasharel was. This is why Rachel and Leah took the idols so he couldn't do that. So he couldn't seek familiar spirits. So eventually it must have worked. So these stories get around like, oh, this is what Levon did to find Yasharel. So the reason why it made it in the Book of Jubilees and Jasher is because somebody must have like, oh, it passed around. That this is why we know of these stories. So when we got involved with ancestral worship, like we getting involved with it today, or trying to get re-involved with it, because now I see Negroes online talking about, oh, you know, voodoo and hoodoo, you know, they demonize our ancestral practices, blah, 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 blah. It's not demonic. They try to make it seem like what we do is demonic. Y'all been colonized because this is our ancestral worship. We just calling on the ancestors, and it ain't nothing but demons. And if you listen to or watch the Roger Minot video that I posted or in the comments, in the caption of one of my episodes, he talked about how Satan was going to trick people with ancestral worship or necromancy. So that's what it basically is. When y'all talking about, oh, my grandmother, I saw her in my dream, or my grandmother, I saw her when I was getting out of a cab. I know even Haitians have this thing, if they see their relative who is dead for like what, within a week, and they see their relative, there is something that's like they're used to seeing dead relatives or thinking they seen their dead relatives after they had passed on. Like that's so deep in Haitian culture. I think one movie exposed that was the movie Side Effects with Jude Law and Catherine Zeta-Jones and Rooney Mara. It was the, I think it was the beginning of the movie. It wasn't even about that movie. It wasn't even about this, but it was about drug side effects. It was a guy who was a Haitian cab driver, and he thought he saw his father. His father was a cab driver too, and he thought he saw his father, and he freaked out, and he had to be taken in, and you know, he was acting wild in the street, and he had to be taken into police custody. And then Jude Law acts as a therapist, and he had to ask him, you know, he thinks it's normal that Haitians or people of, you know, this African descent, it's normal for them to see apparitions or thinking they saw their relatives. But it's necromancy. That's all it is. That's all it is. Moving on. No, I'm not going to move on. I'm going to finish this verse. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore, ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. This is the Most High asking Ezekiel to prophesy against his own people, his own females, his own women, indulging in witchcraft. Ezekiel 14, idols of the heart, verses 1 through 14. Then came certain of the elders of Yashareel unto me and sat before me. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of Adam, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all? Now, we can look at this nation or whatever nation you're at that's practicing religion or whatever the foundation of your nation is that practice such religion like Islam. If you're in a country where Islam is the most popular religion, or like in America, Christianity is the most popular religion, they have made idols in their heart and have caused to put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Now, in Christianity, the stumbling block is the laws are done away with. That is the stumbling block. They will never get over that stumbling block as long as they're in Christianity. And I think for Islam, what is Islam's stumbling block? It would be just walking around that block in the desert, changing their name to Muhammad. And for Negroes in America, it's literally quoting the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and then they go into whatever they're going to say. Just like they used to say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they go on about what they're going to say. Putting man before the Most High Yahuwah. Judaism, I mean, it's literally everything. It's Satan. That's their stumbling block. Their stumbling block is Satan and pride, pride and arrogance. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus says Adonai Yahuwah, every man of the house of Yashareel that sets up his idol in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Yahuwah, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Yashareel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. So when the Most High says he's going to answer you, it ain't going to be the answer you looking for. So I always laugh when Christians be like, oh, I saw Jesus in my dream, or God talks to me. You know this with Pam. Oh, I'm feeling God. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me. You know, most of these pastors say, oh, God told me this. The Lord told me that. The Lord's not answering any of these people, not the way they think they're going to be answered. If he took the house of Yashareel in our own heart because we are estranged from him, what do you think he's going to do for anybody else that's estranged from him? Therefore, say unto the house of Yashareel, thus says Adonai Yahuwah, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. This is easily talking against religion. Easily. Tell a Christian to let go of Jesus Christ, their idol. Tell them to stop doing the abominations of Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas. For everyone of the house of Yashareel or of the stranger that sojourns in Yashareel, see again, for everyone of the house of Yashareel or of the stranger that sojourns, that means the Gentile, that means anybody outside of us, Israelite, who decides to take in this covenant, which separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, Yahuwah, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. He will set his face against that man, just like he set his face against us, his entire inheritance, because of religion. That's why we were sitting in captivity. We wouldn't sit in captivity because, you know, We got into orgies. We got into stealing. I mean, we did stealing. We did theft. We did all the other wickedness. But the Most High's top commandment is that we should not have any other gods before him. And when you get into other religions out of these other nations, the other gods become the enmity or the enemy of the Most High Yahuwah. Every nation that created a religion had a separate God outside the Most High Yahuwah. This is why in Christianity, they try to equate God and the Son at the same person so you don't have to think about the Most High Yahuwah. This is why they peddle Jesus Christ as a God. He's the Holy Spirit, the Father, all wrapped in one. And because he has done away with the laws, we don't have to pay attention to any of the law. We can live lawless. And they teach this in their religion, creating a different entity. And all they're going to set themselves up for is for the Most High to turn against that man. So when Christians say, they seen Jesus Christ in a dream or God talks to them, I know they're lying. I know they're full of it. I know they're full of it. And even those who are pretending to know who Yahuwah and Yahusha is, he will cut him off from the midst of his people, and ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, Yahuwah, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeks unto him, that the house of Yashareel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their Elohim, says Adonai Yahuwah. The word of Yahuwah came again to me, saying, Son of Adam, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and I will send famine upon it, and I will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. This is me repeating what I talked about earlier. So there's no way in the world that is the real biblical land. It's not the real biblical people, and religions are frowned against. And this is just out of two chapters. This is after one chapter out of Ezekiel can set up so much information, wisdom, and understanding to why the world is the way it is. Truly, the Most High will not allow pedophilia to be a safe haven in his land. The Most High will not allow idol worship to be a safe haven in his land. The Most High prized something, and he thinks something is precious, and when he says it's going to be desolate, that he doesn't want man or beast in it, then you know exactly where the real lands are. You know exactly why certain things have happened. The Most High doesn't need to lie to us. If it says Satan has deceived the world, that means all of us at one point in time have been deceived. And the only way you can break out of being deceived by the God of this world is truly seeking the Most High 10 times after you have already found him. That is about as easy as it sounds easy, but most people don't look at it as it being easy. Because people are so bogged down with these jobs, these careers, trying to provide, and because they keep sending money to foreign nations, inflation is going to keep going up. But truly, if you dive into the word, you'll be able to find techniques, tricks, hacks of this system that will be able to provide for you and your family with not much effort. The same way I can find out where the real biblical lands is just by using a fraction of a verse, how much is it that when we rely on the Most High for everything, our understanding, our wisdom, our truth, that he will show us how to hack this system where we don't have to want for anything. But that only comes from actually chasing him and seeking his ways. I see y'all next time.